Well, thank you very much. We've heard several excellent presentations already on the positive changes that are taking place in some schools and states nationwide. And we've also heard some skepticism from the audience about whether the emphasis on schools may be a little bit misplaced. And I'm kind of glad you're in the audience, because I'm not the only skeptic in the room then. Because as you can see by the title of my presentation, the study I'm about to present really calls into question whether school-based laws are really enough to reduce sweetened beverage consumption. Right away, I'll say I do like Coke Zero. Other than that, I have no relationships to disclose. I think everybody in this room is well aware that sweetened beverage consumption has been a growing problem among adolescents for many years now. The proportion of calories that come from sweetened beverages more than doubled over a 25-year span, from roughly 5% to 10%. And it's just continued to escalate since then. From 99 to 04, more than 350 kilocalories per day were consumed from sugar-sweetened beverages on average among adolescents, and it's particularly increased among racial and ethnic minorities in recent years. And this is a huge public health problem, given that sweetened beverage consumption is associated with higher weight gain, higher risk of obesity, lower milk consumption, which means lower calcium intake, as well as increased risk of dental caries. Now, again, everybody in this room is well aware that sweetened beverages are widely available in schools nationwide, and as we've talked about, many policymakers are making the effort to get sodas out of schools by passing laws to ban sodas in schools. And the rationale behind this is pretty simple. I mean, sodas are definitely the number one sweetened beverage among adolescents. There's no question about that. They represent about two-thirds of sweetened beverage calories, and they're actually the number one food or beverage group among 14 to 18-year-olds, so not just sweetened beverages, but all food and beverage groups. And they're widely available in schools, and adolescents spend much of their day in schools, so the rationale is pretty straightforward. If you just eliminate sodas in schools, consumption will decline. Less access means less consumption. Seems pretty straightforward. But are we missing the bigger picture when we take that approach by focusing so much on sodas in schools? Sodas may be the number one sweetened beverage, but they're still just one. And in this day and age, there are lots of sweetened beverages out there for kids to consume. There's sports drinks, energy drinks, fruit juices. The IOM and the American Academy of Pediatrics have come out with statements discouraging consumption of these beverages, but many kids perceive them to be a healthy alternative to sodas and are consuming them more and more as a result. And there's also many places they can get them. As this lady said, they can get them in convenience stores, they can get them in fast food outlets, they can get them at home. So when they have this many sources, it really begs the question, I mean, this banning soda in schools is a good start, but when you have all these other sweetened beverages and you had all these other sources, is it really enough just to ban sodas in schools? So that's why we designed this study, to analyze whether state laws that govern only soda are sufficient to reduce adolescent access to sweetened beverages and purchasing of sweetened beverages within school, and also assess whether state laws that govern school beverages are associated with lower overall consumption of sweetened beverages. So that's considering both in-school and out-of-school consumption, and then discuss the implications of these results for future policy initiatives. Specifically, we're interested in comparing three categories of states. There were the states that allowed all sweetened beverages in schools. That is, they had no laws banning soda, no laws banning Gatorade, no laws banning any type of sweetened beverages. Then there were the states that just banned soda. They did make it clear in their laws that they didn't allow soda, but they allowed other types of sweetened beverages. And then there were the states that made it very clear in their laws that only beverages such as milk, water, and 100% fruit juice could be available in schools. We collected data on these laws specifically for beverages sold in middle schools in the 2006-07 school year. The laws themselves were obtained from the Westlaw and LexisNexis legal research databases. And then Caitlin talked about the joy of coding earlier. It's people like her who do that work who allow people like me to analyze the laws, people who are a lot smarter than me, frankly, who can actually understand the laws and understand their content and get into the specifics of what laws, what beverages are allowed, and how comprehensive the laws are. And all these laws were collected as part of the Bridging the Gap research program, which studies various policy and contextual determinants of obesity. So we collected those laws, and then we linked them with student data from the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study. ECLSK is a cohort that was followed from kindergarten through eighth grade, including seven rounds of data collection. And we specifically focused on students who were measured in both rounds six and seven, which is when these kids were in fifth grade in 2004 and eighth grade in 2007. And we limited it to public school students who were measured in both survey rounds and did not move states in between rounds. And our study sample included a total of 6,900 students in 40 states. Several sweetened beverage measures were collected in both years. We measured, or the ECLSK investigators measured in-school access by asking students in your school, can kids buy soda pop, sports drinks, or fruit drinks that are not 100% fruit juice in the school? This was a simple yes-no question. And then asking them, how many times did you purchase sweetened beverages within school in the last week? And for this, they had a total of 7 response categories, ranging from none at all to 4 more per day. And then the same approach was taken to measure overall consumption, again asking in the last week, how many times have you consumed sweetened beverages, and making it explicitly clear to consider both in-school consumption and out-of-school consumption. And again, they had 7 response categories, ranging from none at all to 4 or more. So for the analysis, again, we were interested in comparing those 3 categories of state laws. And we used general linear models to estimate the differences between those 3 categories and several different outcomes in 8th grade. We looked at in-school access, just whether or not they had access in school. In-school purchasing. Now for this, we took those 7 response categories and created 2 binary measures to measure weekly consumption, that is whether they consumed at least 1 in the past week, and then daily consumption, whether they consumed at least 1 per day in the last week. So both of them are just yes-no questions, just whether or not they've consumed 1 per week and whether or not they consumed 1 per day in the last week. And then taking the exact same approach to model overall consumption of sweetened beverages. And then we use the models to adjust for race, ethnicity, poverty status, locale, state obesity prevalence, and state clustering. Now this graph shows results for sweetened beverage access. And right off the bat, you can see that we did find evidence that sweetened beverage access was lower in states with the most comprehensive laws. So those that banned all sweetened beverages in schools, the students were less likely to report that they had sweetened beverage access in school. It was about 15% lower. So in other words, 15 fewer students per 100 said that they had access to sweetened beverages in schools. Conversely, though, there was no difference between states that only banned soda and states that had no laws at all. Students were just as likely to report having sweetened beverage access if they lived in a state that just banned soda as they were if they lived in a state that allowed all sweetened beverages. And the same was true when looking at purchasing of sweetened beverages in school. Again, we saw lower purchasing, lower prevalence of purchasing in states that banned all sweetened beverages, but we didn't see any difference between the states that just banned soda compared to the states that allowed all sweetened beverages in schools. That's for weekly purchasing. The story was a little bit different when looking at daily purchasing. We didn't find any difference between the 3 categories in daily purchasing. This was not that common in the sample, though. Only about 5% of students reported purchasing a sweetened beverage per day. So it may have just been due to limited statistical power, the lack of a difference between the 3 categories. So overall, though, the results are pretty encouraging so far, at least for the states with the most comprehensive laws. We've got lower access, we've got lower purchasing, but we do not have lower consumption. We did not find any evidence that there was any difference across the 3 categories of states in lower overall consumption. Students were just as likely to report consuming at least 1 sweetened beverage per week. It was about 85% in all 3 categories, regardless of what the state laws were. And when looking at daily consumption, it was actually a little bit higher in the states that had the strongest laws. In the states that banned all sweetened beverages in schools, about 30% of students reported consuming 1 sweetened beverage per day, and that's compared to about 25% in the states that allowed all sweetened beverages in schools. So not only did the strongest laws not reduce consumption, they actually were associated with higher consumption. So, I need to pause for a drink. So I'm a little under the weather. So just to summarize, overall, our results suggest that results that ban just soda definitely are not associated with lower access, purchasing, or consumption. We did not find any evidence to suggest this. We did find evidence that laws that ban all sweetened beverages were associated with less access, less purchasing, but not lower consumption. And this really begs the question, where's the disconnect? I mean, we had that simple cause and effect before. Where is it breaking down? So to answer this, we did an extra analysis in which we used a fixed effect model to estimate the association between changes in access and changes in consumption. So that's actually looking at kids who basically they had access in 5th grade, but they didn't have access anymore in 8th grade. And when it changes, does consumption go down along with it? And what we found was that losing access to sweetened beverages in school, it was associated with slightly lower probability of weekly consumption. And when I say slightly, I mean about 2 fewer students per 100. So we're not talking about a huge effect size. and it was actually associated with slightly higher probability of daily consumption, also about 2 per 100. So overall, the effects appear to wash out. And it really suggests that even if you could eliminate sweetened beverages in schools, so forget the issue of compliance. Assume that, schools are complying and that they are eliminating sweetened beverages. It suggests that the overall impact on sweetened beverage consumption may be negligible. Just to point out a few limitations, it was a cross-sectional study. Also, all sweetened beverage data were self-reported, and we all know kids tend to underreport their intake. The sweetened beverage questions also didn't distinguish between different types, which limited our analyses some. And then you also have to consider that other federal and local policies were being implemented during the same time period. But just to conclude, again, just to reiterate one more time, we really didn't find any evidence that laws that just ban soda can have any positive impact on the school food environment or consumption. Laws that ban all sweetened beverages do appear to be effective at improving the school food environment, but did not reduce consumption. And that's because consumption appears to be generally independent of the school food environment. So overall, this really suggests that some of these school beverage laws can have some positive impacts within the schools, but the overall public health impact may be modest without policy changes in other sectors. And I see the clock is ticking, but I quickly want to acknowledge the Institute for Education Sciences for providing the data, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, NHLBI for funding it, and the smart people who actually coded all the laws that really enabled this study. And with that, I'll take questions.